He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It's Wednesday already, the midweek edition, January 3rd, of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We'll call it the Great Rebalancing Act of 2024. What is underway. It began with quite a bit of fury yesterday. Big sell-off in the NASDAQ and those mega caps that led the market in 2023. It's continuing today, but not as vicious. Right now, the Dow is down 140 points. After the Dow was actually up yesterday, but down today, 140. It's at 37,575. Guess what? It hit a new all-time high yesterday, did the Dow. The S&P is down 17 points today to 4725, a little calmer today than yesterday. But the real damage yesterday was done in the NASDAQ. It was down 251. I have been warning you it was coming. Just wait till the beginning of the year. You're going to see a lot of selling in the big stocks that led 2023, and sure enough, it happened on day one of the new year. The NASDAQ is down 83 more points today to 14,681. Small caps are down 2% today. Big jump in interest rates. We're back over 4%. Crude oil up $1.31, and Bitcoin getting hit here today. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show. With professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And boy, I'll tell you what, it did not surprise me at all as to how the new year began in the market. Barry, we've been talking about it for several weeks that those big caps were going to get hit. Those mega caps were going to get hit. People waited. They didn't want to pay the capital gains taxes this year. They'd be due by April, right?
Yeah, you get to put it off for another, say close to 16 months without an extension.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows? It could it looks very mechanical. I was hearing a lot of talk about, being rebalancing. So, in other words, not something that should persist. But, time will tell, right? We'll see what happens.
Well, now, after the fact, right, now that the rebalancing is taking place, you're hearing all these people saying, oh, yeah, it's rebalancing, and we look for mega caps to sell off. That's kind of the consensus now. I was reading in one article in Seeking Alpha is a big mega cap sell-off in 2024. Well, I didn't hear that in December. We were one of the few that we're predicting that. Now it's become the consensus opinion out there on the street. It was a rough day for the NASDAQ yesterday. Where all those mega caps, all those big winners of 2024, for the most part, reside. You had the NASDAQ yesterday down 245 points, which is a pretty big percentage loss. And it was all centered in the mega caps. On the other side of the coin, you had the Dow up yesterday. It was up just 26 points, but it hit a new all-time high at 37,715. And here's what I observed, okay? I observed this in a big way. I looked at about 1,200 charts yesterday. My eyes were watering by the end of the day looking at all those charts. But here's where the action was. The action was in anything with a P.E. ratio under 15, basically, was on the receiving side of money inflow. And on the outgoing side was anything with the P.E. over that mark. And if I were to pick one sector yesterday that really lit up the board, It would be the medical sector, the drug sector, even the biotech sector. Believe it or not, because biotechs don't have a PE ratio, a lot of them fall under that small cap value, because they have low PEs, obviously. They don't have any PE ratios. And I would say that was the hottest area of the market yesterday. You're also seeing, we also warned that the bond market was way overbought to end the year. Interest rates are way too low to end the year. And we've seen now 15 basis points come back to the market here since yesterday and today, and we're back over 4%. The P.E. ratio, forward P.E. ratio, still remains very high, up around 21. I think that's got to correct some, get it more back into that 18-19 range. And the only way that that's going to happen is with some kind of a correction in the market, because I don't think earnings expectations are going to suddenly race upwards to bring that forward P.E. ratio down. It's going to have to be the price of the market, not the earnings expectations, that are going to have to come down to bring that P.E. ratio more in line. Okay, tech down, the medical sector up, just the opposite of last year. That's another thing that's been my observation over the years. It's rare that 2 years are alike in the market. You know, it's just a natural thing that happens every year. This time of year usually begins in December. It's called rebalancing. And this year you've got, last year it was going out of the low PE stocks and that led in 2020, or held up better in 2022, into the high PE. And this year it's just exactly the opposite. The flow is exactly the opposite, going the other way. The Magnificent Seven smacked yesterday. Apple down about 3%, Nvidia down 4%. Now, is that the end of these stocks? No, but if it's become 8% of your portfolio, let's just say you have a portfolio that's $100,000, and all of a sudden Nvidia is a 10% position in that portfolio. That's pretty concentrated. You know, for the most part, there is a rule out there called diversification, and it is a pretty good one to follow, not having too much in any one stock is important.
Yeah, the old adage of not having all your eggs in one basket, right?
Yeah,
especially when the eggs are expensive as they have been.
Last year we just kind of let that basket grow, right?
Don't fight the tape,
number one. There wasn't anything better, number two. And number three, we didn't want to incur a realized gain wherein taxes would be due this April. So anyways, that's kind of how that worked. ASM was down 4%. It was the chips and the software stocks, okay? They were on the losing end of the stick yesterday after being on the winning end of the stick pretty much throughout 2023. Our article did very well yesterday. It trended. It was on the front page of Seeking Alpha all day long.
Well, a different flavor than most of the articles that
well,
tend to be on there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my worst REIT pick of 2023. It wasn't, you know, there's plenty of those. It wasn't my favorite high-yield dividend stock to get rich off of. No, it was, look, here's what we told you to do last year. On January the 6th, we were right, okay, which lends a little credibility to your latest article. You might want to listen to writers on there that don't write that often, but when they do, you know, it's a very select article. It's a timely article, and, you know, I think it's important to follow people that are right more often than not. You know, the high dividend yield index last year, Barry, now I don't know if Seeking Alpha tracks their writers, but they've got some writers out there with huge subscription bases, right? A lot of people following them. Their biggest one by far is a guy who writes about high dividend yielding stocks, all right? Build your portfolio and get retirement income from high dividend. That was one of the worst sectors in the market last year. There is, I think it's HVY or something. There's an ETF that tracks high dividend yield stocks. It was actually down 10 or 11% last year. So anyways, we started our five portfolios for Seeking Alpha 5 years ago. We offered our a subscription service there on Seeking Alpha. And if anybody's got a better track record out there, with the Ultra Growth and Premier Growth funds that we make available on that site and in our own app, I'd like to know about it, because I'll subscribe to that if somebody can point out to me a better subscription service than Best Stocks Now. I want to subscribe to that service. Okay, when we come back, well, not a good milestone, but it's another one that we've hit and could have major implications down the road. We'll be right back with that. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. How many zeros do you have to put behind 34 to get to 34 trillion?
I saw that today. Yeah, a lot.
U.S. national debt tops 34 trillion. And counting. I mean, there's absolutely no efforts being made whatsoever.
I guess it's nine. Nine zeros.
Okay, that's a lot. As government shutdown looms. More good news.
11-figure debt. Right.
This gloomy fiscal milestone reported by the Treasury Department comes as Congress braces for another fight over federal spending. Unless lawmakers can agree on another short-term continuing resolution to fund the government or pass appropriation bills by January 19th, the U.S. government would face its first federal shutdown since 2019. The interest paid on the federal debt so far this fiscal year is almost $1 trillion. It's going to reach that mark. That's just the interest. It's very clear that the situation is unsustainable. Unsustainable. Well, anyways, that's a good way to start the new year with the
new
one.
I feel like we've been talking about Social Security like that for years, right? Unsustainable, yeah. Nothing really gets done about it.
Now, Barry, on your calendar today, do you have the Fed minutes? Are you all ready? Are you geared up to go through the Fed minutes?
Yeah, the Fed minutes are interesting because, of course, you know, it's based on a meeting from, you know, I guess it's going to be about 3 weeks ago now. So there's been new data that's come out. And, of course, they talk, you know, the Fed talks plenty now compared to what they, you know, used to historically. So the Fed minutes lose their luster a bit because they're almost continuing Fed minutes at this point, right?
But just be glad you don't work for Merrill Lynch or Goldman Sachs, because some poor guy's going to be, or a committee's going to be handed the Fed minutes. Their job will be to pour through the Fed minutes.
Words that have been, it's funny, they put them, you know, put them right next to each other, and it's like, okay, you know, especially the Fed statement, right? And it's like, okay, this word was removed, this word was added,
God.
Right?
And then you've
got to interpret the words. Yeah, so
I'd get into another, I would, you know, be an auto mechanic or something had to do that, change tires at the tire store, anything. Now, okay, one of the theories as to why the market's been selling off yesterday is, well, we don't think there's going to be a rate cut now. Look, we're going to hear this on a daily basis now. Rate cut, or when will the next
rate cut
be?
Right. Yeah.
Just ad nauseum. I really don't think it had much to do at all with, fear of a fear of putting the rate cut off until June now instead of March. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
And it's two sides of that coin, right? I mean, if they do put, let's say they do put off, the further it gets put off, it means that earnings, right, are likely going to be holding up better, because the economy is going to be holding up better, which should translate into company earnings holding up better. So you've got this, you know, two sides, right? As interest rates, you know, as they begin to cut, right, that's likely means that the, you know, economy is faltering a bit, which should be reflected in earnings or earnings expectations. So what you're, you know, kind of gaining on one side of that, right, on the interest rates going down, you're likely giving up some, right, on the earnings side. So, well, it's a bit of a seesaw battle between both.
And I will say, over the last couple of 2-3 weeks, the analysts pretty much have been taking some time off, which, you know, crunching numbers all year long, difficult talking to companies, et cetera. But those earnings estimates are going to start coming in again. And by this Friday, by this Saturday's newsletter, we'll see if there's been any adjustments during the vacation. Probably not. But you never know. And it's going to be those earnings estimates that are going to drive the market higher or lower in 2024, because I think the multiple's pretty much set, even though it's a little bit extended right now. It's got to come back a little bit. But, you know, if earnings estimates start to decline, we could be in real trouble. They're not declining yet. I've seen no sign of earnings declining, estimates, expectations declining. But that's going to be really that's going to be the biggest factor. Other than world events that are unknown, the biggest factor in the market this year is going to be earnings expectations for 2024 and 2025. Okay, there were some big movers yesterday. What did they all have in common from my point of view? I saw a lot of stocks moving that had very low PE ratios, 7, 8, 9 PE ratio, stuff that totally got poo-pooed. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with a low PE stock last year. Now, all of a sudden, they're all the rage. Instead of the magnificent 7, we're looking for the PE of 7, all right? Hey, that's a good line. Maybe I can use that in my next article here. But the magnificent 7, they got whacked pretty good yesterday. Okay, this is also a time of year when everybody's putting out their top 10 list. And I always like to read through them, and it always just kind of reminds me of just how mediocre a lot of the big firms are. Okay, here's one big firm on Wall Street here. While they're busy going through the Fed minutes, they're putting out their top 10 stock ideas. Top 10! Okay, this is the best of the best. These are our top 10 ideas. This comes from Bank of America, who absorbed Merrill Lynch during the credit crisis of 2007-2008. Number one, American Homes for Rent. All right. Number two, Citigroup. Number three, Fidelity Information Services, FIS. Number four, Humana. Number four, Intuitive Surgical. Number five, Lear Corp. They make seats for cars. Number six, Trex Company. They make plastic lumber. If you got a big horse farm, you use a lot of Trex. Union Pacific Railroad, Core and Main, and then Tractor Supply. That's their top 10 picks for 20. Do you write those? Now, Barry, I want you to track those and report back at the end of the year. How did they do?
Sound a little sleepy. Yeah,
but they sound pretty sleepy to me. But, hey, look, you know, they polled their guys now. Goldman Sachs has a list called the Director's Cut. Now, that's like going to a steakhouse, right? And they got like four sizes of prime rib, and the biggest one is the owner's cut.
Sounds like
8 inches thick, the bone in.
Sounds like a new Blu-ray DVD that came out or something.
This is the director's cut. Yeah. Okay, all right. Now, I shouldn't make fun of these guys, but I do. Their conviction list, making the director's cut, Parker Hannifin, Textron, They make helicopters. Constellation Brands. That's about as dull a stock as you. Weight Watchers. Jefferies Financial. J.P. Morgan. Blue Owl. Merck. J.B. Hunt Transportation. And PPG. Now, they got some more. Well, we'll go through the rest of the lesson when we get back. Then hopefully we'll get to some good stocks in the second half of the show. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on this second trading day of 2024. It looks like the selling has maybe picked up just a little here. Yeah, oh, definitely it's picked up a little bit here. The Dow is now down 228 points. I say it's mostly the rebalancing act. There's also some fear of, well, you know what, we may not see any rate cuts until August. Who knows when we'll see the next rate cut? NASDAQ is down 128 right now. We do have several hedges in place that I put in here towards the last couple weeks of the year because I could see, I very much felt like what is happening in the market, at least the first few days here, and it could, I don't think the rebalancing, here's the big question, how long is the rebalancing going to take? I think it's going to take several weeks myself. It's not going to be all rebalanced within a couple of days. And, you know, pretty soon people are going to start saying, wow, here's how the psychology of all of this works. People are sitting on big gains and they see all of a sudden 2 days in a row, pretty big drop, another day, and then pretty soon it kind of sets off a little bit of a tsunami of people, you know, jumping out to protect their profits. They don't want to give up their profits. So,
well, when you got to remember, there's a lot of folks who came into the market late in 2023 as well. And so, you know, they step right back in the water and then, you know, then they get water's a bit cold or boiling.
A shark bites off their toe.
Right. Yeah.
Ouch. So that hurts.
You know, there's certainly some, and that's on the individual investor end, but, you know, there's certainly some I think more psychological factor, particularly at the beginning of this year, and tax reasons than most of the other factors.
I think this year, more than any in recent memory, you're going to see more vicious rotation and quick and vicious, because of how extreme. The second-to-last newsletter of last year that I wrote, my headline was alarmingly overbought. I don't use hyperbole that often in my headlines of the newsletter. I just try to be honest. I was alarmed at how overbought the market was. It was just unbelievable how extreme it had gotten. I got up to over 1,000 stocks that were B plus or better. I can't remember that ever happening before. And we haven't seen it reduce that much. I mean, we're still at about 800 B plus or better stocks. It should be closer to 300 or 400. So there's a lot of stocks that need to correct. Some of the gravy needs to come off. There was a lot of gravy in the market there, more than I've seen maybe since going back to 2000. When the NASDAQ was at such an extreme level. But that was more of a valuation thing. This was more of an overbought thing and a concentrated thing in a lot.
Yeah, concentrated is the right way. Think of a buffet where, like, you know, there's only a few items that, you know, there's plenty of items out there, but only a handful of the items are, you know,
the prime rib is wiped out, yes. But there's plenty of cauliflower florets and broccoli stems. And now they're starting to buy the cauliflower florets and the broccoli stems as they ate too much prime rib at the buffet. Sorry if you're a vegetarian, but that's just the way it is. That's what we observed. We saw just gorging on these stocks. It was just a shark infestation, a feeding frenzy, and it had to give. Now, another thing that's got to spook the market. You know, you had a major escalation here in the Middle East. Okay, there's always trouble in the Middle East, but this is like unlike any I've seen in recent years. And of course, the encouraged. You know, now, my wife has relatives in Lebanon. Her mother was the only one that left of the family. She left back in the 60s, 50s, came to America. Otherwise, my wife would be there today if it were not for her mother. So when we watch their Facebook, she has a cousin that's a governor of one of the states over there. They're on the Christian side of the Lebanese, a country, which is a big, giant melting pot. A lot of the Christians got out during the Civil War. But we watch what goes on there. There was an incursion into Beirut. By more than likely Israel, taking out in a posh neighborhood, right? Taking mm-hmm. out the second in charge of Hamas, plus about seven or eight of his cohorts, the apartment mm-hmm. building where he was living.
Yeah, the highest ranking Hamas member to be killed during this conflict.
Yes. Okay. So you say, well, Bill, is that going to? Well, look. The war right now is with Hamas. That is a proxy of Iran that is in Israel and obviously operating too out of Lebanon. But Hezbollah is much, much bigger and more powerful. Hamas has missiles without any of this, guided. They're not guided missiles. They just lob them in the air and they hope they hit something. And more often than not, they don't hit anything. But you get into these guided missiles. Hezbollah is loaded with those, and they're in Lebanon, up there on that northern border.
And the technology provided by Iran.
Yes, Iran, and they've got a lot of them. So, I mean, if the war spreads this time, which it looks like it's inevitable at some point in time. And, of course, Hezbollah is saying, hey, that you went too far. That's a red line coming into Lebanon here and taking out. Now, if that's not enough, you saw what happened. There was a funeral today for Soleimani.
Yeah, it was like a 4-year anniversary of Israel basically taking him out. And whether it was an internal terrorist attack or something caused by the outside.
Who knows?
Over 70 people end up getting killed at that event. And the question is, Who shows up at that event, right? Well, who shows up at that event? You may have some other important people there,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Standing right around his grave and honoring him on his fourth. Now, it was President Trump that took Soleimani. So anyways, look, this is all stuff that we have no control over. These are geopolitics, but it just looks like to me that, that thing has the potential. That's a powder keg over there right now. No wonder we have some hedges in the market right now. I've toned down our portfolios a little bit. That's another factor that you got to keep in mind. All right. Now, what else? Tesla's China EV sales surge. Tesla, that was a good report yesterday. Their deliveries. Mm-hmm. They set a record. And China just had a good report. Now, Tesla, unfortunately, is not a cheap stock with a P.E. ratio of 69. It's a mega cap. All of a sudden, mega caps are out of style, all right? Tesla had a monster year in 2023, last year. So it's on the selling side of the fence right now. It's on the rebalancing side of the fence. Even with the big report that they had yesterday, you know, Tesla began last year at around $100 a share, and got as high as 300 at one point. Now you're sitting at $238. Tesla is down 4% again today. It was down like, you know, it was down about 1% yesterday because of the really good report. But down 4% today as the selling in the mega caps and the big rebalancing act continues to take place. Boeing is in talks to make 150 planes. We have a lot of people. I know a lot of people in this neighborhood, a lot of people in my church that work for Boeing. They are in talks to make 150 planes for India's Akasa Air. So Boeing had a great year. I mean, Boeing, it was one of the big winners in the Dow last year. But you know what? At this level, it's pretty expensive.
They still have all that, a lot of headline risk still. So
yeah, they have headline risk.
Given it only takes one slip up, right, from a plane standpoint, right, to give back some of those gains, particularly when it involves the MAX.
And the valuation is pretty extreme. Now, we don't own Boeing. We owned it last year, and I finally pulled the plug on it. Of course, it went way up after we pulled the plug on it. That's usually what happened. But, you know, you got to keep your eye on stocks, and I do have lines in the sand. And I did have somebody transfer in some Boeing towards the end of the year from another firm, and I did unload it when it came in. I actually unloaded it yesterday. Boeing is trading at 90 times, let's see, 80, 75, 70, 70, 65, 65 times forward earnings right now. And not a good chart that's rolling over. B.A. Boeing. Well, we'll take a look underneath the market and see if there's anything moving to the upside. Doesn't look like it right now. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show on another big sell-off day in the market to begin the new year, which does not surprise me at all. And just looking at the S&P 500 stocks, the stocks that make up those make up that index, here's what's getting smacked around again today. You know, the solar stocks have just done horribly. Enphase, again, the biggest loser in the S&P 500, down 8.7%. Now, here's a disturbing, some of the consumer discretionary are getting hit today. And, you know, that wouldn't be rebalancing, and that wouldn't be because they have high P.E. ratios. That would be because there's a little bit of worry maybe out there. But Kohl's is down 8.2%. You know, many think, and let's not forget, Barry, these stocks also had a big run-up in December, which they really didn't deserve. Macy's had a big run because of the buyout rumors. Kohl's, you know, a lot of people, including myself, think it's got to be in a struggle to survive, like Bed Bath & Beyond. Kohl's is down 8.2%. Nordstrom's, the once great Nordstrom's, is down another 7.4% today. And, you know, it's just, you know, December was just too hot. The last couple weeks of December, 3 weeks, there was just too much buying in a lot of these crazy stocks. And now some of that gravy coming out of the market. Penn Entertainment down 6.4%. Caesars is down 6.3%. I'll tell you what else, speaking of seeking alpha, the REITs. The REITs are getting slammed again today. Why? Well, they had a big December, number one. Number two, they came way down because they're interest rate sensitive. And the bond market was way overbought. Rates were too low. And now the REITs are getting clobbered today. Why? Because interest rates are up 15 basis points in the last 2 days. SL Green Realty down 6%. Vornado down 6%. others, a few others there on the list down. A lot of retail, consumer discretionary down today. Oil prices are up. That means the airlines are down. The cruise ships are down. The trucking stocks are down. Now, what's doing well today?
Well, probably some of that softness could be related. We got the JOLTS reading came in, job openings came in a little less than expected. So I don't know if maybe that has a bit to do with it in terms of just in terms of dollars in people's pockets and in retail. But now, that's about the only thing I could look to right there.
What's on our top 10 list for 2024? We're not a big wirehouse firm. We're a boutique firm. We don't have a committee, you know, that's picking a top 10 list. We just try to use a little bit of artificial intelligence enhanced. We use the app, which finds stocks that are still make sense from a valuation perspective and have momentum going on their side. What's our largest holding at our firm by far? Lilly. We think Lilly's going to have the biggest selling drug of all. It has the potential to be the big, and it's the biggest winner in the S&P 500 today. I would call it a top pick. And obviously, we put our money where our mouth is. Lilly is up 3.2% today. That's a pretty good day. What's the drug? It's Zepbound. Look at that chart on Lilly. That's an excellent chart on Lilly. And, you know, we didn't write about a lot of stocks last year. We were so busy making money for our clients, doing whatever we could. I didn't have a lot of time to write articles.
Quality, not quantity last year.
Yeah, those articles take time. But we did write about AMD, one of the biggest winners of last year, and we wrote a big article on Lilly. You know, I had some commentary on there saying, this guy's crazy. Why would Lilly trade at a PE? Because this has the potential to be the biggest drug of all time, Zepbound. You know, really, the two biggest frontiers to cross in biotech, number one is the cancer frontier, right? I mean, they've made some inroads there, but no big breakthroughs. But the other big frontier is weight loss. Look at how big the weight loss industry is, and look at how big people are today. You know, it's just a fact of life. We talk about the buffet line and the cruise. I talked to my neighbor who was on a 20-day cruise. He said, oh, I don't ever want
to
see any food again.
I'd like to weigh myself before I went on one of those things, to make sure I got my money's worth. Right.
I told him about Zepbound, that Lilly drug. I have a friend. He lost 67 pounds. I don't even recognize him anymore. And Lilly is up 3.4% on 2x normal volume. I like it. It is a mega cap, but you know it's forward earnings and the kind of growth that they could see over the next several years, it still makes sense to me. It's the biggest winner in the – we're lucky to have – we have a winner there, and then, of course, our inverse funds are doing very well today, our hedges. I'll tell you what else is working today. The other side of the coin of interest rates, when interest rates go up, insurance stocks go up, and we're seeing Progressive up 1.9%. We're seeing Everest Group up 1.5%, Unum up 1.5%. And the other thing that's up today, the defense stocks, that's not a good omen. Northrop Grumman up 2% today. And the oil stocks are up today. Marathon up 2.9%. Halliburton up 1.4%, Valero up 1.2%. Then just real quickly, the big tech stocks, the NASDAQ, Tesla is down 3.7%. They're actually doing a little better today. ASM is down again today with all the AMD's down 2.8%. It had a rough day yesterday. We did cut back on AMD in the last week of the year. I didn't want to do it, but I just had no choice. Qualcomm down 2.2%. Intel down 1.7%. So, yeah, I would say the selling taking place today in the REITs and consumer discretionary. two bad places to be.
And Bitcoin earlier this morning.
Bitcoin's getting slammed.
It was below 41,000 at one point.
Yes,
down 5% today so far.
BITI is the ETF that's inverse Bitcoin. All right, I own a list a little bit of it. I think Bitcoin is way out of whack. But what do I know? I know nothing about Bitcoin. If you'd like to get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, 2 free weeks of the newsletter, give us a call. Get set up with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.